Yeah.
Ooh, I'm glad that breeze is sounding like ventilating the fucking. It sure gets warm.
Okay. Hey.
You all ready?
Yeah, I saw all that. I'm ready.
We'll get more as we go along.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have a big audience, but we'll go ahead and start and hope that we get more folks coming along. Our topic for the next portion will be milling, the process of actually cutting up the lumber into boards. We've got people here who have a variety of experience. First on my left here,
have a look,
Mr. Sam Baker, who's worked in sawmills quite a while ago, but in a lot of different capacities. Then next on my left, Mr. Neil Varnes, who's been running this small portable sawmill, his own mill here. After that is Barbara Dye, who is the plant manager for Corbett Cypress for their mill that's about 9 miles north of here. And then last on my left, Mr. Emmanuel Solomon, who similarly has been a mill worker in a number of different capacities, and you'll get to hear about the different things that they've done. Why don't I go ahead and start with Barbara, if you're willing, and just give us a little bit of an outline of what you do in your plant, what the process is, step by step, to make the boards.
Okay, first of all, we get to work in the morning. I go in the office, and the boss man gave me a sheet of paper what we had to do that day. Then I go down to the mill, get the workers together, and I tell them what we got to do. Most of right now, we have it in mulch. That's sapper mulch. We bag it and ship it all over the world. But during the winter time, we cut a lot of boards. We cut 1x8s, 2x8s, on up. And mostly it's the men's out there. And I supervise all the men's. And we get along pretty good.
How many folks do you have working for you?
14.
Now, Mr. Solomon, I know, has had a lot to do with the business of sizing the boards appropriately. Can you talk about that and about that whole process of getting them the right sizes? And I know you made those decisions.
Yes. Yes, I was a block seller for Rex Lumber Company for 17 years. A block seller is a thing that brings the lumber out to the sawyer to cut and set and lift. So the sawyer, he gives me a sign. If he want a 1-inch board, he give me one finger. Otherwise, he want me to sit on the dial 1 1/4 because the saw, it takes out a little bit of an inch of the capacitive way to cut it. And if you want a 2-inch sign, he give me two fingers. Same thing for 3 inches, 3 1/4. 4 1/4. All right, he want a 7-inch, 7. He give me a point hand signal of 7 like that. 9, this direction. 8, that direction. 10. Now, some saw you give the sign 10 this way, but he always gave me a sign 10 this way. This, some will give you a sign this way. He wanted a 12, hit his finger. Now, some saw you give you a sign 10 with the call you have one hole in your nostrils, he put one finger up there. Some give you that sign for 10. Now, they have different signs to give them, but mine always give me the sign this way for 10. And for 22, this. For 12, he give you this straight up 12. So that's the way he always gives his signals at the block setup.
How big is the biggest board that you were sawing in those days?
Oh, the largest board I would be sawing probably 18. Mm-hmm. And 18, he give me this way. I don't know if I told you. He give 18. Your fingers be crossed, but he brings it across his chest for 18, yes. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes we have 20. And he give... For 20, he gets hits his nose twice. For 20, still means this one, this hole here for one, and for the zero, and the other finger for one. So he gave it twice to make 20. Yes.
Mr. Barnes, tell us about your mill a little bit. It's a real different operation than these folks working in fairly large numbers.
Absolutely, I have a one-man operation. I do my own logging, and I do my own sawing. I do my own deliveries. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. basically what I saw is cypress. I do saw other stuff. I've saw any variety of wood in almost any dimensions, up through about 38 inches in diameter. That's about as big as I've ever sawed. My maximum is supposed to be 32 inches in diameter, but by using a little bit of imagination and a chainsaw, I can girdle the side of the log out and manage to work a larger log, uh-huh. which I have done. I don't like to do it. But it is strictly a one-man operation, completely different from what this lady here has talked about. Mm-hmm. And I take my meal to the woods. I don't bring the timber out of the woods. I take my meal to the woods, right to the timber. And the only thing I bring out of the woods is the finished lumber. And that about sums it up. Uh-huh.
You do a lot of fancy cutting, don't you? These eight-sided posts and...
I can do any kind of cutting. And I ordinarily I don't, but I have the facilities and the know-how to do it.
So what's the product that you mostly make?
One man in particular buys the bulk of my lumber, and he converts it into outdoor furniture, playhouses, swing sets, and just various cypress furniture, you know.
So you're mostly just doing boards for him?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I do some custom work, but not much.
So you just have the fancy stuff to show off for us.
Right.
Now, Mr. Baker here, he's done a lot of different jobs in the woods, but tell them about what you were telling me earlier about your job with stacking and all of that.
All right. We used to wake, go to wake at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we have a great book of lumber there to stack. So I had a fella jacking it to me, so I'd be stacking it. So we had to stack it every length and every even, every length of it, the right length and all of it. And the width of it and all. We had to stack it right on up, level, right on up about 5 or 6 foot high. And then we'd have it level on each side and in the middle and on the end too. Just the levels you want to have. The man come out and measure and see how it would be. And it would be just right. So, and he'd take it out then and carry it away, so we'd start another one. Sometimes it'd be eights and ten, sometimes it'd be fours and sixes. And we had to stack it though. We had to show stack it erect. If we didn't, we might get docked for some of that day. And take down and stack it over again once. So that was a double job right there. But we whipped it out just like that. 8 hours. 4 hours at noon, 4 and a half hours, noon, 4, maybe a half that evening.
If you didn't do it the way they wanted to. They'd get that crippled man down the road to come do it, wouldn't they?
That's right. Sure would. Yes, sir. So and we had to do it erect so he wouldn't have it. So we had to do it all over again.
That's right.
Did you have to sort out the sizes? So you'd
yes,
pick
ma'am.
Which went
I had
in?
To sort out the sizes, the fours, the sixes, the eights, the tens, and twelves and all. So in all along, that was
also
a job.
The width.
Also the width and all. So all of it had to be direct. So and we got through with that, so it was all right. Man come down the line, look at it, he said, that's all right. He's done well. He started on something else. Sometimes be two fours, two sixes, two eights. Oh, they was kind of heavy. So when we had to do it, though. How heavy it was, we had to do it erect. We was getting paid to do it. So we had those well-equipped men to do it. Didn't let everybody done it. He just had those few to do it. What know how to do it and do it right. So when we went on like that, it kept it up, too.
Barbara, is that still a hand job, or do you have machines to stack?
No, we do it by hand. Just like he said, we do it just by hand.
But
only I don't stack anymore. I just supervise it.
You both. Now they have, I think, automatic stacker, you know, stack it by itself.
Oh, they do.
Yes. Machine to stack it, I think. Mm-hmm. Just come out there and I think it's stack it. All the width of it come out there and I think it's stack it length by length, all the width and all. Stack it. I don't know. I wanted to go up and look at it, but I ain't went and looked. But he says all of it stacked just right. Length and all. Now they got that good automatic stacker now, so no matter how to do them, I think they lay his own sticks.
We have a mill at my hometown there in Bristol, Florida. North Florida Lumber Company from Gracefield. And it's amazing to see how those bows come out.
Mm-hmm.
Did one length go this way, another length go that way, the width, all that, and it divides up and come out here and cable brings it out and puts it on a roll out and stacks and also got something bands it up.
Yeah.
And the lifter comes in and pick it up.
Yeah.
And of course it's a man operating the lifter and come out and carry it out on the yard and dump it.
That's all done with the use of a computer.
Yeah, that's right.
The log will come in on a conveyor and they have a computer eye that sets up there and sizes that log up and determines what it'll make, automatically adjusts the saws to cut dimension, and one goes one way and the other goes the other way, the slabs goes another
sure
way.
Do.
Wow.
Nothing but push button.
No.
Yeah, man don't have nothing to do with it no more than mash button.
The reason why we do ours hand stacked because we deal only in sapem. And for one thing, you get a lot of pecking, get a lot of rotten lumber.
Dude, I ain't knowing that.
What I do, I stand on a platform and grade it as it comes down the line. That way we put nothing but good lumber in there, and we take peck it and put it to the side because peck it is expensive.
Yeah, you're doing a high-polluted job. Uh-huh. She is. I witness some of the cypress.
What, is cypress harder than, in your experience, than just working with pine?
No, cypress is all
no,
right.
No, that oak the hardest.
Oak the hardest. Wood it is.
Is right?
Yeah, oak the hardest.
We have a consensus here. What is it about oak that's...
One thing is so heavy.
Yeah.
The oak is so heavy. That's one of the main reasons. Then another thing, seems like bugs and stuff gets in oak.
Yeah.
Quicker than to do any of the rest.
But one thing about oak is heavy. One thing about cypress, it's wet.
Yeah, yeah. Heavy
one
too.
Thing about pine, it's tall.
Yeah, sticky. That's right.
So you got a variety of coming, getting dirty. Now me, I stay wet all the time because I'm working in cypress wood. Mm. And all when it coming off the line, it is soaked and wet.
Sure, yeah.
And our cypress tree will hold up to about 100 gallons of water a day. And what it do is it spreads through it. Mm-hmm. That's why you have such a pretty green leaves on
sure
it.
Right.
The moisture content in green cypress will run about 80% water.
Yeah.
Do you have to dry it out in a kiln afterwards? Or? Yeah.
I don't, but if you have need to use cypress lumber inside, mm-hmm. you will want to kiln dry it. Mm-hmm. If you go use it outside, you can air dry it, and it's fine. Huh. But if you're going to use it inside, you really need to kiln dry it because just... If you air dry it, you can get it down to about 12% moisture content. It's still going to shrink some if you put it inside, turn your air conditioner on or your heater.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then the boards will pull apart? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. And pull apart and leave a crack.
And the way you can stack that cypress up, I've seen them do it. So I wonder why they done that. They stand it up. We had to jack it and stack it standing up and let it be leaning and... They said, I said, why did that? They said, let the water run out. Well, I seen water running around when I did down there.
Do you all
down
there. Right.
But the way we stack ours, no, we don't stack ours that way no more.
No.
The way we stack ours, it's like we got a 1x8 by 12 foot. All right, we put that in a 12 foot stack. And what we use is dividing sticks. It's about 4 inches long. And you put it about 2 foot apart. That'll keep it from whopping.
Yeah, right.
And everything
she
else.
Right,
and then...
Yeah.
Just like the man say, if we're going to use it for outside, we'll put it on the outside, let it dry for about a year and a half. And then if you're going to kiln dry, it don't take no time to kiln dry.
Sure.
Stick it in that kiln and hit it dry, no time.
I think about 16 hours.
Only reason we have to dry it out, because you cannot dress wet lumber.
Wet lumber, sure can. And it's pretty whenever it's dried out.
Uh-huh.
Sure is.
I'm fortunate in as much as I don't have to dry my lumber. I pull my lumber right off the mill and put it on a trailer, okay. And it don't slow down. I don't
somebody else deals with that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That part. Now, Mr. Baker, you were telling me about, was this working with pine where you had to dip it in the chemicals?
Yes, ma'am. So we dipped it in the chemicals to keep the bugs out of it. So it comes
pine
off of, comes off of a rope right on down, comes off a cable right on down through that vat, deep vat, the chemical and water in it. So it goes right on down through it, comes right on out on the other side, and we drip some before it get to us. Then we had to stack it. We have one glove, though. That chemical was kind of poison.
Don't spray it.
So and we had to drip some by the time it got out to us. So we stacked it out there. So it dry. Man, kept on out there in the sunshine. It dry then. So sometimes they put it in the kiln dry. But it was some good, pure, dried lemons. Never come out of that kiln. Sure was all right. No bugs in it, just the pure you won't have.
I like to tell you about a bandsaw. I know he he know, maybe you know, mm-hmm. a bandsaw.
Yeah, we
is.
Got one.
Bandsaw, it's about 70. And we was cutting most of the oak then. It was the year 1959. The highway froze then, it cracked the highway. It really was cold. So when you run the bandsaw, you have to keep water on the band, on the saw, to keep where it will stay on the wheel. Don't want to get hot and come off. But this particular morning, I was sitting blocks, got on the carriage. Fellow, the dog, he loaded the log on. I dogged it. And he gave me a sign, bring it out a little bit before you could cut it. I brought it out just a little bit for him. He stopped me and he started up to his bandsaw. Got up there and the saw twink. Ding, with the doubling up.
Yes, right.
Bandsaw is probably about 12 to 14 inches wide,
right.
A new one.
Yeah.
And he backed up. It was cold that morning. I never will forget it. He went back up to it again. It turned again. He backed up from it. Went back up to the next time. It started going in a little bit, and he eased it up to it. Got, I reckon, about 4 or 5 inches up in the log, and the saw came off. Came off the bent wheel. Come up on the carriage where I was at. Cut across my shoulders, across the back, across here, and my legs. They cut my clothes nowhere. And about 15 or 20 minutes after it happened, I was so scared I had to go home. I just got excited. I had a knockoff. I couldn't.
Was the log frozen? Was that what was happening? Or
It just happened so quick, and I didn't realize what had happened until later on. See, that saw come off. This one, it didn't kill me.
Yeah, it was so cold that one.
I mean, cut my clothes in three different spots, places.
Log
across
frozen.
My back here. Right across my up on my back and well, right across my leg here.
What was the problem?
Really that came off?
It froze.
That water froze the log. Yeah, froze the log. Yeah,
water.
That was the problem. Yeah.
We had
a knockoff. We couldn't saw it on two or three days. We had to just shut the mill down. So you had to keep water on the saw.
I can saw frozen lumber with mine.
You can.
Yes.
Yours, look, yes.
Yeah, it's yours a different kind. It's not a band saw. It's a different kind of saw, or... Explain
mine,
to me
mine
about
is
that.
A bandsaw, a little different from his. Mm. Mine's a lot. Probably the difference is yeah. in the blade.
Yeah.
My blade,
yeah.
is much smaller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And much finer teeth.
Yeah.
And I've never sawed any frozen lumber, but I have instructions on how to do it, and I know they do it all the time.
You know it will freeze. Them log will freeze.
Oh, yeah.
It sure will.
Freeze.
I wouldn't have thought it, but it sure freeze.
But one thing working at a sawmill that anybody don't know, it is really dangerous. So anytime
right.
you're working at a in any wood, what you should do is keep your mind on your work.
Right.
Pay close attention to what you're doing, because about 3 years ago, I got my finger sliced off right there. Can't hardly tell it now because surgery was did on it. Don't take long to lose your fingers out to a sawmill.
What I do to avoid things like that, when I have a spectator come around, a visitor, I park my saw. I'd stop and sit down and talk, as long as he wants to talk. I can't concentrate on my work and conversation at the same time. And like she says, it is dangerous. But not only that, you've got to keep your mind on what you're doing. If you're sizing your lumber up as you go, your logs and your lumber, you've got to keep your mind on what you're doing and concentrate on it. And there's no room for conversation. So I sit down and talk as long as the visitor wants to talk.
Well, I got to verify it wasn't none of my fault my finger got cut. It's when you're working with a lot of more peoples.
That's the difference. Yeah.
They got to have their mind on their job, too. And you got to try to watch them in your job, because you got to look out for your coworkers. I don't care how you feel
sure.
about them or whatever, but you got to look out for your coworkers. And my job is protect. Since I've been supervisor at the Corporate Samples, only person that really got hurt was me. And we try to keep down the injuries out there.
Sawing, working around a sawmill is probably the most dangerous job that I know of.
Sure.
Insurance is real expensive.
So why
do
you decide to do it? You like it?
It's no problem to me. I work alone, and I be real careful. The mill I operate is a very safe mill, very
mm-hmm.
safe. If I don't turn a log over on my finger, I don't have to worry about getting cut. It's a rule.
Yeah.
And I just be careful. That's the thing about it. Be careful.
You're speaking about the dangerous part. It is really dangerous. Nowadays, they use everything about a tree, you know. They don't throw you nothing.
No, we don't throw you
not even the sound when it falls. It catches that. But years ago, they used to have this thing, what they call a slab kicker. Mm-hmm. It had the points. I know you know where they were.
Yeah.
Little things on it. It had to be about that long and about that big around. It runs about a belt and a motor, and it turns real fast. So when the sawyer saw the slab off, it drops on the road bed, then it rolls down there a piece, and then another man will pick it up and catch it and throw it on that slab kicker. And he'll hit it on the top and kick it way out there on fire. Have a fire that burning them up then, but they don't burn up nothing like that now. But I have known people to get killed with them. Mm-hmm. Instead of, when the road is turning this way, and they got teeth on them out that long, they wouldn't throw it far enough for it to hit on top. They throw it into it, and that time it kicks it back. I know quite a few people that got killed and hurt, I'm quite sure you have heard of them.
Any rotating blade like that will kick lumber back, and I've never saw it happen, but I've saw movies, videos of it happening where a man be operating a table saw, for instance, and it would kick a board back on him, and it was in the movie. Now this is what they were showing us to teach us how to be careful. It was show that board hit the man in the stomach and come out his back. Absolutely.
Edger did a man over there in Calhoun County that way. The edger, he was running the edger table, and it kicked the board back. He was making a 1x6 on it. He kicked it back and just tore us all this something.
You never stand behind a board that you're sawing on. You stand to the side.
I see them do it.
That's right.
They will do it a plenty of time.
The most you do that is a gang saw.
Gang saw or a circle saw of any type.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, is there a more than one process? Do you rough saw it first, and then does it go through another process?
Well, yeah, you rough saw it first.
You sawing a bowl. Well, when you're sawing a log and turn it into a bowl, it's going to be rough, green and rough. Mm-hmm. Then if you know you want to plane it, or you can sell it green and rough, or you want to put it out, let it dry, then you can plane it. But it's definitely going to be green and rough when it come off that saw. Mm-hmm.
So is it another, what makes it smooth?
That's a planer.
Is that a sanding process?
Yeah, kind of like it.
I was planing. It's a big old machine. But you run a bowl, studio, regardless what side it is, where to take it. When you go in there, it'll be rough. Real rough. When it come out, you got little old blades in there. Just shave it down. That's what it does. Just shave it down.
Just shave right on down.
You got some way we can shave just the top of it, or we can shave the top and the bottom. Either way the customer want it, we can do it that way. And when it come out, it's real smooth.
She'll do.
I thought Joe's been playing.
She's doing some expensive stuff. That's true.
She's
working with some expensive stuff.
The Cypress is.
That's right. I mean,
we work with Tidewater Red too. That's all. It's Tidewater Red.
I think mahogany is worse than that though. It's more expensive. Mahogany, yes.
Well, we've been on for 25 minutes. If you all want to rest, we'll do this again tomorrow. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well,
I done told y'all I knew. Can I go back to Bristol?
Yeah, tell it again tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
All right, thank you much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.